The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Thursday, Cinco de Mayo, 2011, and welcome to the show. It's glad to have you here. It's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We have got a full studio here today while we begin today's show. Let's turn, first of all, to our good friend Ganja John.
What it is, Russ.
And we've actually got a shot here where we can say hi to Ganja Bro.
Ganja Bro here. The person responsible for mumbles is here.
The man behind the mumbles. Wave over to the green light there. And, of course, also Coleco the intern is in the house, too. So we've got a great show.
Absolutely. Hey, he totally gets applause.
Totally, absolutely. And also from beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, in our virtual studios, Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, guys. Happy almost Friday. This sort of feels like a Friday show since you're not going to be on tomorrow.
I know. We won't have a show on tomorrow because I will be flying to Austin, Texas for the Texas Million Marijuana March. But we will have replays and also a live Irie Island Hour. Is that going to happen tomorrow? Tomorrow, 8 o'clock Pacific, a live Irie Island Hour while I'm out. And then I'll take the remote with me and see if I can get you any live stream from Texas while I'm down there doing my thing, marching with the people in Austin. But before we go on to all of the hemp headlines and all the stuff on the show, Cannabis Carrie has been injured. She's been taken out. I want to show you guys a picture here. This is a picture from Aspen, Colorado. The car she was in, they rolled the car driving between Aspen and Denver. Carrie comes out with nary a scratch, yet today she has been taken down by a vat of salad dressing. Tell us about it.
It's true. I don't mean to whine about it so much, but I dropped a bottle of salad dressing on my toe last night. And this morning, it is so far from feeling better. It's feeling much worse.
Was it a vinaigrette or a cream base?
It was sort of a cream base, but it was organic and low fat and $7 a bottle. And I am so pissed that I broke it right. All right, they broke the bottle right when I came home from the grocery store.
Cream bases hurt way more.
Yeah, of course.
It's heavier.
Carrie, we hope you do well. And remember, if your toe is get something on that. Put that up. Put some ice on it.
We'll send you some salve.
There we go. We'll get some salve for you. But Carrie, of course, has our hemp headlines that we do right after the first break. So what's in the news today, Carrie?
Well, today, you know, we've been really wringing our hands as cannabis activists all over the nation watching the drama that has been unfolding in Montana. And I want to let you know that activists in Montana do have a strategy to fight this, and I'm going to outline that during the hemp headlines today. Also, as we're doing our rounds of those threatening bully letters from the feds, we're going to tell you about Vermont's response to that letter. And also, as we close out Hemp History Week, I'm going to kind of stray a little bit away from my impartial journalistic side and do a passionate plea for you to get involved in hemp activism.
Can it be a Carrie rant?
Well, you know, a mini rant. Nothing stands up to a Radical Russ rant. Oh, well, we'll call it a mini rant.
Thank you, Carrie. We're looking forward to that. Also on today's show, Ganja John brings you the music today. Who's the group you got today?
Food Chain.
Food Chain. We'll get some music there. Music is a drug, as a matter of fact. And then at half past, the Southern California Scene with Terry Joyce, Lynette Shaw from the Marin Alliance for Medical Marijuana will be joining us on the show as well. We've got some video from the Denver mayoral debate and a little mini rant on conspiracy theories from me. So all that and more coming up on Normal Show Live. Please stay tuned. We are the voice of the marijuana nation. Stick around, join the chat room, and have yourself a ball. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
As high-time senior cultivation editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From Friend's Closet Grow Room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
The fight for medical cannabis in Montana is just gearing up, vowed activists this week after Governor Schweitzer decided to hold out on his signature of the new restrictive medical marijuana law and allow it to become a law without him having to actually sign it. In what was seen to many as a fatal blow to the newly formed medical marijuana industry in the state of Montana, the new law would go into effect on July 1st and would impose very restrictive rules on the industry and make it very difficult to qualify for the program altogether. Cannabis activists from outside the Montana borders have been able to only watch the drama unfold and try to make sure the same kinds of changes don't crop up in their states. But Montana activists have said they are taking a three-pronged approach to fight the new legislation. The new approach will be one of veto, sue, and suspend to try and stop the recently passed bill to make it into a law. First, they are trying to convince Governor Brian Schweitzer to change his mind and veto Senate Bill 423. It has not become a law yet, and until it does, the governor still has the right to recall it to his desk and stamp a veto on it. Last Friday, Governor Schweitzer said that he would not veto the bill, but advocates are hoping that supporters will contact him daily to ask him to change his mind. Separate patient advocacy groups are also exploring lawsuits to challenge the future law, getting ready to file those suits in July as soon as the new law goes into effect, if it does. And also, advocates are hoping to stop the law by mounting a referendum to suspend it before it takes effect, and to let voters again decide the fate of medical marijuana in Montana by putting it on the November 2012 ballot. Groups are already gathering volunteers to get signatures on a moment's notice and doing all of the organization first to be ready if they need to go that route. Jim Gingery, the executive director of the Montana Medical Growers Association, told reporters this week that they are not about to give up. They are still hopeful that they can convince the governor to veto the bill, if only to block what would surely become a resurgent black market marijuana trade in the state. Schweitzer had told activists that his veto would be pointless, since he feels that the legislature has more than enough votes to override any veto he makes. Jim Gingery says that means that the most likely scenario will be for the reforms to become law, and then the issue to go back to the voters of Montana, the same voters who approved the original program with almost two-thirds majority. Advocates hope that a future vote by Montanans will garner even more support, as the overriding of a voter-approved initiative will come off as an overly heavily handed government intrusion. That process could leave Montana in a state of near prohibition of medical marijuana for more than a year, until the 2012 election that will also decide on a new governor. Lawyers for patient groups say that if no veto happens, they will work to get the new law suspended until the citizens of Montana get to put their voice in the whole issue.
Wow. You know, I'm glad they've got this strategy put together, but I don't see the governor coming back with a veto, even though his excuse for not vetoing it, saying that it's kind of a pointless measure because they'd be able to override his veto, that doesn't really wash for me. If you think this is the wrong bill, and if you think this isn't doing right by the people who voted this in, then you should veto it, whether you think it's going to get overridden or not. This should go back to the legislature, and it should be on their shoulders to let it happen. By just allowing it to become law without your signature, it reminds me of that saying that the only thing that needs to happen for evil men to succeed is for good men to stand by and do nothing. And this is standing by and doing nothing and letting this terrible SB 423 become law, putting people back into the streets as criminals, branded as criminals, when all they want to do is follow a law. If you think that the medical marijuana law needs to be stricter or revised, that's fine, but 423 is going far beyond that. You need to find some way that the people who are currently on the program can maintain themselves on the program. There's no reason why a person who maybe had been using cannabis in the past when it was illegal, and then when it became illegal, jumped through all your hoops to be legal, went through and complied with all you asked of them, gave up their privacy, let you know where they're at, registering, all these things that you have to do to get a medical marijuana card, seeing the doctors and so forth. All these things that the people of Montana went through to be legal, and then you want to take that away from them? Do you think they're going to stop? Do you think they're going to stop using cannabis now that they've had it for this many years, that they've been using it and found it to be so superior to all their other medications, whether you think they're deserving of that medication or not? No, they're going to continue. And so by not vetoing this, you are tacitly allowing some 28,000 Montanans to become criminals again, and further enriching a underground market that you supposedly say you want to end. This makes no sense. Please contact Governor Schweitzer at 406-444-3111. That's 406-444-3111. That's his phone number. Or you can go to governor.mt.gov to get all the information for contacting the governor. Tell him it's not too late to veto.
And Vermont is the latest medical marijuana state to get a threatening letter to their governor from the feds. The letter landed on the desk of many legislators just a few hours before a vote to regulate dispensaries was to be called yesterday. Representative Patty Comline says that she was absolutely going to vote for dispensary regulation until she saw the letter. The Republican from Dorset told reporters, quote, "I really had every intention of voting for this bill until this morning," and then added, "The letter impressed me." Vermont has had a medical marijuana law on the books since 2004, and lawmakers there have spent the last few months drafting legislation to help legal users obtain the substance if they are unable to grow it themselves. The letter in Vermont came from Vermont's top federal prosecutor, U.S. Attorney Tristram Coffin, which was almost an exact copy of the other letters that have been sent to Oregon, Washington, Montana, California, Colorado, and Arizona. It included a blurb about not going after sick individuals, but added that individuals who elect to operate marijuana cultivation facilities will be in violation of federal laws, and operators, landlords, financiers, and even state employees that give out permits to allow such activities are not exempt from federal prosecution. Backers of the distribution legislation that includes the governor, Peter Shumlin, scrambled on Wednesday to find a way to pass the bill as scheduled before lawmakers go home for the year, starting tomorrow. The bill passed the Senate and then got held up in the House for a two-hour debate that included discussion about the seemingly new federal threat. But Governor Shumlin said he very much wants to go forward with the bill and won in a preliminary voice vote. It will be up for another House vote today or tomorrow. State Public Safety Commissioner Keith Flynn has said his office sought Coffin's input after hearing that the federal prosecutor in Rhode Island had made comments to officials there last week, prompting Governor Lincoln Chafee to halt his state's program. The Rhode Island letter was nearly identical to Coffin's. Representative Sandy Haas told the House on Wednesday that she remained doubtful that federal prosecutors would pursue dispensary operators, particularly with numerous restrictions that the Vermont bill contains, in hopes of preventing dispensaries from becoming fronts for illegal activity. But just to be clear, the House Human Service Committee added an amendment yesterday giving Shumlin the authority to put the process of taking applications from dispensary operators on hold if there become more concerns. Other lawmakers weren't so sure about the Wednesday vote. Representative Andrew Donaghy voted no because he says that Vermont does not have the right to pass laws in violation of federal law. And then he asked Representative Haas, who was on the floor at the time, how many local police departments support the bill. She answered, none, since they are all uncomfortable going against federal law. We'll keep you posted.
Oh, yeah, more bully letters, more threats here. And the thing is with Reefer Madness, they're so infected by the Reefer Madness, they can't even hear the internal contradictions in the letters they point out, right? Because the letters keep coming out and they say, you know, don't get us wrong, we're not at all against sick people using the cannabis plant in order to treat themselves if they're terminally ill. But by God, if you try to grow a plant for that sick person, we're going to haul your ass to federal prison. Where are these sick people getting their plants, Mr. Obama? Where are they supposed to get their medicine if not from someone growing it for them? And it's not something, I mean, people say it grows like a weed, but there are expenses involved. There is labor involved. There is skill involved. There does need to be a way for people to pay to get cannabis. You cannot support the idea that marijuana is a medicine and some people should be using it. Even the way you guys think of it, that, you know, very, very few people should use it. You cannot even support that without supporting getting them some safe, reliable access to that medicine.
And during Hemp History Week, I want to make it clear that hemp products are currently legal. You can find them in cereals, supplements, milk substitutes, protein powders, sold in stores like Whole Foods or Trader Joe's. Your bird seed is mostly hemp seed, and many textile products like clothing, the popular shopping bags, and shoes now have hemp textile products in them. But U.S. companies get 20 tons of hemp oil from Canada to create a market that last year was valued at more than $400 million. Since the mid-20th century, industrial hemp has been banned in the United States because the government does not distinguish between food and industrial-grade hemp and the other members of the cannabis family that we promote for medical and recreational purposes. Beyond the fact that we do not mention it in schools to our kids, national hemp farming in the United States dates back to the colonial era. Hemp was a staple from the 1600s until the mid-19th century, and the founding fathers, including George Washington, John Adams, and Thomas Jefferson, grew the crop. Hemp was declared a narcotic in 1937 with the passage of the Marijuana Tax Act, and later legislation outright banned it. Realizing their mistake, the U.S. Department of Agriculture briefly allowed hemp farming during World War II to help the war effort, and George H.W. Bush's parachute that saved his life in late 1944 was made from hemp. Since 1998, the U.S. has allowed the import of food-grade hemp, and companies including Nature's Path, Nutbia, Manitoba Harvest, and Dr. Bronner's Soap make an array of products from breakfast cereals to high-protein supplements to lotions. Politicians with diverse views like Representative Barney Frank and Ron Paul have introduced legislation to legalize industrial hemp production. Now, for now, that bill languishes in Congress, but hemp products have become more popular. The benefits are numerous. It's easy to farm with almost no needs for herbicides or pesticides, easily gaining the organic label for farmers, and adaptability to most climates, promise as a biofuel feedstock, potential for water remediation technologies and building materials. And just on a personal note, hemp activism is a very important part of your cannabis activism. It's often said that legalizing marijuana won't change the usage that much because pretty much everyone who wants to smoke weed is already smoking it. Well, let me tell you, everyone that wants to farm hemp is not being allowed to do so. It is so important to our planet ecology that we seek out more healthy ways to farm with fewer pesticides and fewer water and acreage use, and hemp is the perfect crop to fit those shoes. we could feasibly begin processing hemp oil to replace foreign crude oil that has been the bane of generations of citizens now, creating dirty profits, supporting wars, terrorism, and crooked governments. The medical marijuana industry is huge, and we have proven that it can create jobs, tax revenues, and provide stimulus to local governments. Industrial hemp farming would be even larger in terms of tax revenue, world trade, and a huge boon to the American farmer. Please educate yourself on industrial hemp as much or more as you educate yourself on the benefits of cannabis, and help us get hemp laws changed in our nation. Contact your state agricultural commissioner and ask them to support industrial hemp. And as you ask your candidates about medical and recreational cannabis legislation, please open the door for discussion on hemp farming as well. Make our politicians pick a side on the issues that are important to us, and do not let them remain silent on the issues. And if you see a hemp product that's just a few more bucks than a non-hemp product, well, go ahead and buy it. Just skip out on your daily coffee drink that day, because we need to vote with our dollars as well as to campaign to help save the American farmer and, most importantly, help save our planet. Vote cannabis, vote hemp, and let's legalize for the good of the planet.
That was awesome.
Fantastic, Kerry.
That was awesome. We got to have more of that. Hey, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with your Daily Toker Tunes.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We're old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service
announcement. Pop Pass Records!
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. Brought to you by the John Doe Radio Show in Denver, Colorado. Accurate and informative marijuana reform news and entertainment. Available on the THC Media Network and JohnDoeRadio.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
Tim from John Doe Radio is not doing the tune today. Daddy's going to handle it. We got something really special for you guys today. This is Food Chain. Food Chain, we saw them on April 19th in Denver. They opened up for Cypress Hill. It was a great show. Me and Cleco had a great time. Food Chain's a hip-hop collective based out of Denver and is really one-of-a-kind team of MCs and producers. The band is kind of like a super friends of hip-hop.
Who's Aquaman in this?
I don't know, actually. I'll have to figure that out. But the vocal representation consists of about four MCs, Mike Coates, C1FL, and Champion Sound Killa Black. What a name. That's amazing. Internally dubbed the offense of the team. And conversely, the defense provides a group's sound is driven by two incredible producers, Mass Producer, Mo Heat on keys, turntablist and bassist DJ Lewiside, and percussions by Alex the Great. Food Chain really embodies the authentic element of hip-hop culture. They have vinyl scratching, which is something that I just don't hear anymore. It seems like it's kind of an endangered species. This tune's called Music is a Drug, we heard it live. And I got to tell you guys out in Denver, go check out Food Chain. Some of the best live hip-hop I've ever heard, almost a full band, and some of the best keyboard stylings I've ever heard. So without further ado, here's Food Chain with Music is a Drug.
This dang go away. Baseline on my face like Novocaine. Snort a line of the coke flow. Get them high off the rhyme, fortified by a dope show. Let my mind and my soul float. Good vibrations, I could taste them like some dro smoke. Sit back, pull my zone out. Roll up one time so I got zone out. Blow the smoke out my nose and breathe the track in. Exhale the kicks, I'm blowed off the snare snapping. The melody is sweet, soliloquy to my conscience. Turning up the beat when I'm swerving in the cockpit. 212s, three kickers and some tweeters. Yeah. It's like your favorite drug is pumping through the speakers. Good or bad times, music fill my space. I am rap till I'm old and when I fade.
My music is a drug, I'll use it till I die. It gets me high, higher than the sky. I be popping and drinking, sniffing, dating, smoking. I will continue to use because music is my drug.
Bumps, hairs on my neck standing. I get an adrenaline rush when I bump classics. Drunk off now, sipping on Hennessy. Smoke a Young Doe, track two is my ecstasy. For headaches, Nina Sky be my remedy. When I'm feeling down, Big always been a friend to me. Rolling with Pac, riding on my enemies. Ross make me push it to the limit when I'm listening. Swagger right when I kick it to some Lil Wayne. Gang tight in the turning lane with UGK. 3,000 and Big Boy, my shit boy. Riding big toys with loud pipes to rich boy. Sit down to get down with Jay Dilla. Cause his music always give me a great feeling. Motivation, the emotion he put in. It gives me ways to tell negativity good riddance.
My music is a drug, I'll use it till I die. It gets me high, higher than the sky. I be popping and drinking, sniffing, dating, smoking. I will continue to use because music is my drug.
It's like the Holy Ghost when it get within your body. Rushing through your veins, blood clot couldn't stop it. Eyes bloodshot red with your head bopping up all night. Just trying to define the logic between backpackers and gangster artists. Mainstream achievers and the dream seekers with they believers watching. Seems separated but we chasing the same token. Folk from different directions are affected by the chain smoking, chain glowing. Fancy cars, financial stability, the ability to stand alone, not fall apart. When the going gets tough, the walkers fall. And to top it off, the gift of having a fan base that's kind of large. Adds to the allure, we all want. Yep. So I say we all want, and to an extent we all front. Yep. But that's the way it is, so play your position. So I'm in the stew like a slave in the kitchen. Handling my beers like a maid do with dishes. Like a grave to a casket, I'ma get in where I fit in. Niggas bitching when they hearing how I kick it. Trying to change it, but I dictate it, so call me the commission. Never switched it up unless I did it for my image. To attract a couple fans, that's the ways of the business. 22 years racing for the finish line. Been here too long, it's time to give me mine.
My music is a drug, I'll use it till I die. It gets me high, higher than the sky. I be popping and drinking, sniffing, dating, smoking. I will continue to use because music is my drug.
copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
This is Normal Show Live.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
Providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
I don't care what you say. That ain't right. I said, that ain't right. That ain't right. I don't care what you say. That ain't
right. Weed.
Scooby Valley,
Hooby
Ha!
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
Oh, Terry, so glad to get to talk to you. The sun has finally come out here on the West Coast. I know things got to be going really good for you down there in Southern California. How you doing?
Doing really well. The weather is really has been really nice the last few days. Very summery. Like what? So it's good for you up there?
Oh yeah, we had a 70-degree day the other day. We had this big yellow disc in the sky that radiated heat. It was really cool. I think you call it the sun, right?
You finally got to see it. Wow.
Yeah. I guess I should correct it though. I guess the weather's been good everywhere except the Staples Center.
I'm amiss. What's going on at the Staples
Center?
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was for Rolla J and Destruction and Gaio and all the Lakers fans out there. That's all. Just a little dig. That's all.
Oh, okay.
but Terry, great to have you on the show again. What's happening with you down there in SoCal lately?
Well, I ran into Lynette Shaw again, and I know that you just saw her up in Colorado for the big Normal conference. And, you know, I can't, you know, I've known Lynette for maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 years now, but just knowing her, I'm thinking, what more could this woman go through?
Oh, really?
And, you know, she's been just such a pioneer with marijuana for years, and it just seems like she's really gone through a lot of trials and tribulations. And right now, the IRS is coming after her and 49 other dispensaries, and they're not allowing her to write off her deductions that she did for the last, I believe it may be, we'll put her on the interview, but I think it's the sum of nearly 12 years.
Wow.
And so that's kind of the new thing that's happening. It's what we feel that that's how they're targeting us now. You know, there's always something. You know, either they're going to make it so that the tenants or the landlords is going to sue the businesses for being in the building, or however. It just seems like they're either our city's trying to poke at us in some ways, or now it's the IRS. I don't know about you, but it feels like, well, this is the way we're going to knock them down.
Mm-hmm.
And but I know that this woman, she's not one of those kind of people. She's a fighter, and she always seems to come back up. So I want to introduce to the show Lynette Shaw.
Hi, Lynette.
Hi, Russ. Hi, Terry.
Oh, so glad to have you here. It was nice to see you in Denver at the Normal Conference. It was nice to see you. And just to give people your, you know, your props here, you are with the Marin Alliance for Medical Marijuana, and this is part of these IRS stories that we've been talking about the, you know, the feds going after the big players here. What's the latest update on your situation?
Well, I've been licensed since 1997, so that makes us the longest-standing licensed dispensary in the nation. I've been filing taxes with the IRS for 13 years. This is our 14th year open legally. And I've actually had a relationship with the IRS because, you know, I was new to this business thing, and they were giving me advice about, gee, you're not taking enough standard business tax deductions, and you're going to save money here, and let's make an arrangement, make this payment there. And then suddenly in Thanksgiving of last year, I got a notice saying you're going to be audited before the end of the year. Well, that's impossible. It's Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So then they asked, bring in your books for 2009. I said, fine, standard business accounting. Got a CPA, got a tax attorney. And they said, okay, what are the names, addresses, garden locations, and income of all your growers?
Oh.
And we said, well, that isn't really relevant because I can show you this is the money that was paid. We put it into the bank deposit here, and here's where it paid the bill there, and blah, 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 blah. And here's the money. Here's where it goes. And they said, well, we don't like your books. We don't have enough information. And under Schedule 1 and the anti-crack house tax law, we're going to not allow you any deductions after 13 years.
Right, right.
So
that's a three. Is it the 380E? Is that what they call it? Was it 280E? I can't remember the code.
280E.
That's it.
Which is written by Senator Pete Stark, who's furious it's being misapplied to medical marijuana clubs. It's terrible.
Yeah.
So I hope no one else ever gets a bill like I did, which was like, you know, for $1 million+ doing 120 days.
Wow.
However, rather than wanting to go jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, I believe that I'm in the best position to fight them of anyone in the nation, because President Bill Clinton actually sued me in civil litigation before in 1998, along with I was one of the federal six that went to federal civil court in 1998 when they called Dr. Tom Mikuria, Cheech
right.
and Chong doctors national news.
Yep, yep.
Well, I'm the only one who survived because we appealed and appealed and appealed. Court, keeping our case alive, and we were demanding a constitutional review of the rational basis of Schedule 1. Also, we demanded a medical evidence review to defend our actions, as any defendant can and you know, is allowed to under the Constitution and American law.
Sure.
They did not want to review this evidence. They kicked me around from court to court. We let everybody else go first. Oakland Cannabis Club, race decision, all is going south. And I really believed in this appeal. We put every penny we could building our case evidence of the medical review. We have $400,000 worth of formal case evidence we prepared for the Supreme Court. Took it to the Supreme Court in 2008, and they dismissed the entire case after 10 years. No summary judgment, no restraining order, no permanent injunction, no charges, nothing, rather than open up the medical review. So we are uniquely prepared because now they came after us before with it's against Schedule 1 and anti-crack house. Mm-hmm. Now it's against Schedule 1 anti-crack house tax law. Well, wait a minute. We already prevailed on this one.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like you might have a case
so,
there.
And no one else has to. Yeah, yeah. So we filed our appeal March 30th. We were the first one to get completely thrown under the bus. We were a very small operation. And we've never been allowed to have ancillary merchandise, no T-shirts, no books, no papers, nothing. And we're too small to have any extra services other than...
Oh, Lynette, I hope...
We won a bunch of cases and stuff.
Oh, sorry there. We were just having a gap with the Skype there for a second. Thought we had dropped you, but we're still got you on the line.
Okay.
Lynette Shaw, Marin Alliance for Medical Marijuana. Go ahead.
All right. So anyway, we have prepared a case that I think is going to shoot marijuana off of Schedule 1. Because what we believe, if we can get these books open at a hearing, that we have irrefutable proof of that marijuana is medicine and it is acceptable. And this whole thing is a lie from the very start, from 1937, most of the listeners here know. And that it is un-American and against the law to purposely and deliberately and vindictively misschedule marijuana any further. You know, it's absolutely un-American, and it's against the Constitution, too.
Oh, absolutely.
So, So this might be our door to the Schedule One, because under the tax rules, there's a couple of hearings at IRS tax court. Then we go straight to the Ninth Circuit and straight to the Supreme Court on a fast track. Mm-hmm. 1 year, maybe year and a half max, we'll be in the Supreme Court.
Well, what are some of the points that you're making in your case to justify? I mean, well, we obviously know what they are, but I've just some of the examples you're giving the court to prove the medical utility.
Well, we have all of the studies from around the world, and all the American studies currently updated all the way actually through today by thanks to ASA, of all the medical studies that we have that show that marijuana is indeed medicine. We also have case evidence that shows that marijuana is accepted in now 15 or 16 states in America.
15 in D.C.,
You know, and that, right, and D.C., which is federal territory. They're licensing dispensaries in federal territory. So this proves that that there is use in America, even in federal territory, of marijuana as medicine. And then there's, you know, it's very well laid out. The arguments are crafted beautifully. And we have all the history from 1937 when they lied about marijuana to make it illegal.
So is are you saying here, though, that as a part of this tax case where they're going after you for this tax, this 280E thing, you're going to be able to introduce this part to be able to be a wedge?
Defend my actions.
Because
Schedule One is irrational, and what they're doing to us and everybody now, there's 50 more dispensaries in California currently being audited since I got thrown under the bus. Mm-hmm. You know, Harvard, and two have come into Colorado, you know, and everybody's hearing the same thing. Well, blah, 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 blah. We're going to throw most of this out, and you now owe us a bunch of money, and, you know, too bad. So it's irrational. It's irrational, and American law must be based upon a sound scientific and rational basis.
Absolutely.
That's American law.
Yeah,
and
you know, when we also look at the Obama administration and his memo about scientific integrity shaping our law.
Exactly. So we just have not been able to get into a body that can adjudicate and open up the hearing, because the Supreme Court can order Congress to immediately reschedule marijuana because it's illegal. In Canada, as you well know, they just declared the marijuana laws unconstitutional there, as well they should. Mm-hmm. It helps strengthen our case in America. It's unconstitutional to have this deliberate misscheduling of marijuana any further.
Mm, I love that. And, you know, every time we've gotten a case before the courts, I mean, you mentioned some of the cases like Raich and so forth, we always get this answer back, and we've even seen it in the writings of some of the justices in their opinions, where they say it really has to be taken back to Congress. How is your fight going to be different? How are they going to be forced to address it in the courts rather than saying, no, they're going to punt it back to Congress again?
Right. Well, the Raich case was actually from a different approach. They sued the government. I'm a defendant, and
right,
as a plaintiff, you don't have the right to you know, demand a hearing. You know, you are the plaintiff, but as a defendant, I have the right to demand a hearing to look at the evidence as to explain and defend my actions. All the evidence.
And, you know, I've always surmised that, you know, a lot of times when you get these DEA raids and they do the smash and grabs and they never charge anyone, it's because they don't want the publicity. Mm-hmm. They don't want it to get to the courts. And so you're saying here their tactic of going after you with taxes is going to backfire on them, because now this is going to be heard in a court.
Finally. I mean, I'm actually elated, because we spent every penny. I mean, I'm in debt, and we have no money after 10 years. We've been open. This is our 14th year. And every penny is sitting in this beautifully crafted defense that I think will save every dispensary in the nation.
Oh, man.
And this is my gift and our gift, the Marin Alliance collective gift to the movement. Because even my wonderful, conservative, brilliant lawyer who's been, okay, Lynette, we're just going to keep you open. We're going to get another appeal. You know, you got to raise a lot of money. Now we have to copy 70 copies and put them in leather binders for the Supreme Court. All this stuff.
70?
You know?
Wow.
70 copies of all our arguments, you know, thousands and thousands. But no one else has to reinvent the wheel. In fact, anybody who gets audited, they're going to get thrown under the bus. You know? And what you do is appeal. You're in civil litigation. And one thing that I believe happened when I was in civil litigation, I was never raided. Couldn't figure out for the first 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Everybody's rated. This is 1997, 98, 99, 2000, 2002, Ashcroft attacks. Well, double jeopardy. My prosecutor finally admitted after 8 years. that there's this thing in the Constitution. I'm in civil litigation over marijuana, so I'm not eligible for criminal raid in a criminal court over marijuana until the civil litigation is dispatched.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So if you are attacked by the federal government, IRS, file your appeal, you're in civil litigation with the government, can't be raided.
Wow.
So then I'm asking everyone to file a motion to stay until the Myrna Lyons case is heard at the Supreme Court, because that is where all tax cases go when it involves this much money and this much policy.
Sure.
Straight to the Supreme Court, years ahead of anybody else.
Right.
And it's a big deal.
We are speaking with Lynette Shaw from the Marin Alliance for Medical Marijuana, a guest here on the SoCal Scene with Terry Joyce. And Terry, I always like to break in and give you a chance to take over and give a question if you have one for Lynette.
Well, I just have, one comment is, Lynette's the only person that I know that's been sued by President Clinton. That's a big coup for you, Lynette.
and then I get hooked to Kevin Bacon in there, right?
I've just discovered that I have a Bacon number of 3 because I'm in this new documentary that's coming out called A Normal Life that connects me to Rod Pittman, which connects me to Oliver Platt, which connects me to Kevin Bacon. So there you go.
It was quite startling to see his signature in his signature on my paperwork.
Yeah, yeah.
My name was being bandied about the White House more than once, apparently.
Yeah. Well, your name's appeared in all sorts of interesting places. I've been researching your background, and you ran for 2006 election there for Libertarian Party for Lieutenant Governor, right?
Yeah, I got 143,000 votes for marijuana peace. It was an amazing year. I hadn't been out of Fairfax for years, but I'm very well known. I'm a professional speaker and everything. Come on, Lynette, go make some speeches.
Yeah, would you ever consider running for office again at any level?
Oh God, maybe in 10 or 15 years when I'm I'm a little bit older and wiser.
Yeah.
Everybody in my family
has her AARP card. She'll run for office.
But I've got a lot of rock and roll to play. And after we win this, after we shoot down Schedule 1, then I can. I've got a book in the works too.
Oh, really?
I'd like to get the book out there and go talk to people around the world about our experiences. But first we got to win the war. And because the tentative title is how we won the war, but we got to win first.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned rocking and rolling too, because that's the other thing I find is you like to play blues music. I come from a musical background, played professionally for 15 years. When are we going to get together and jam, Lynette?
Yeah, are you going up to the Seattle Hemp Fest?
I'll be there.
I'm actually coming back to the Hemp Fest, and I'll definitely be there. We should definitely jam, because I'm singing. That's been the good part about getting well, is I started to be well, which means I'm singing and writing songs again. It took quite a while, but all this hassle has still not stopped my steady access to medical marijuana, which has stabilized my health condition and healed me to the point where I hardly even need it anymore. And that is the purpose of the exercise, is to be well.
Yeah.
That's
the other side of your story as well, is fighting not just these battles in court and business, but also your personal battle, having to fight for your health and your access to medical cannabis. It's been a miracle for you, like it's been a miracle for so many other people. And I admire what you're doing. I admire that you're taking these court cases forward. This is fantastic. And talk about taking lemons and making it into lemonade. I mean, most people, if they got the suit from the IRS, it would be their darkest day. But I think.
Oh boy! I'm tired of these little BS kind of backstabby. I'm gonna lie about Lynette to make me look better kind of stuff. Like fighting like that. That's stupid.
Yeah.
But if I'm gonna get beat up, it better be for a good reason. And I think I can beat them up on this myself. I know we can win. Even my conservative law professor, brilliant defense attorney, says, Lynette, you've had faith in this case this whole time, and now we are in a position to win. We're going to be able to shoot down Schedule 1 with this. And I said, yes, sir. That's why we built that defense case for 10 years. And now ASA, thank you, Steph Scherer. We love Americans with Safe Access. They are donating 3.5 years of case library updates, which saves me $50,000 in legal evidence gathering and formalizing. So we are now, shortly, we'll be currently up to date to the latest case. We're going to feed in everything, because when we finally get our date from the IRS in a couple of months, we're going to know a date. That's when we enter all the evidence on the first, you know, hearing. We have to bring in our truckload of evidence and our list of witnesses. And, you know, and I'm thinking we have, you know, there's doctors, there's lawyers, there's patients, you know, amicus from the state of California, or maybe amicuses from all the states, you know, because this has got to stop. It's irrational. And our businesses have to be able to pay income taxes so we can support our nation and make it healthy instead of throwing all the marijuana money away to the underground and the cartels.
Yeah, it's only the sensible thing to do, and it's just... You know, the more you learn about this and the more you research all the things that brave people have done to try to change this law and just how much has to be done, it's just, it's mind-blowing sometimes when you think about it, that it's really just talking about a plant here. We're really just talking about a plant and having to go through all of this. It's just amazing.
God, my life is on, you know, my house. They could, when you get a bill for over $1 million due in 120 days or they take your house, yeah. You know, they can do that to everyone who's filed a righteously did everything they were supposed to do and filed. Everybody in the nation is in trouble. If they can shut down the Marin Alliance, they're going to shut down everybody overnight.
Yeah, no kidding.
But this is why everyone has to appeal, you know, and wait.
And I was just wondering, are you safe and secure during the appeals? I mean, can they take your house while you're appealing, or does that put on hold?
No. That's everything's put on hold.
Good, good.
Because I'm innocent until proven guilty, and so is everybody else.
Good, good. Want to make sure that was clear for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. It stops everything, freezes everything, and we're open.
Yeah.
You know? And this will also help us set up a lot of communication. We need to hear from, you know, whatever's going on from all over the nation.
Yeah.
And also, Green Aid has adopted our case, one of the few cases they have. So any donations that people want to get a tax deductible receipt, they can go online to green-aid.com and on the form put Marin Alliance, you know, or Lynette or Shaw.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out. And they get a tax deductible receipt, and we need to raise another $50,000 to get our lawyer legal team back for another year. Mm-hmm. And that's not too bad, you know. It's, you know, ASA took care of half our bill with all that legal update, and so we're pretty close.
Let's get everyone out there to green-aid.com, or it's a .com, right?
Yep, it is.
Okay, green-aid.com, and get those donations for the Marin Alliance for Medical Marijuana. This could be and should be the precedent-setting case. We want cannabis taken out of Schedule 1. It does not belong there. Absolutely not. There is medical use. People here in our studio are, you know, demonstrating that every day. And Lynette Shaw, I want to thank you so much. People in the chat room that met you, for example, Stereotype, are saying, you know, they met you at the Normal Conference and you were fantastic. And we're so glad that you could join us on the show today. Thanks for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime, Russ. Anytime. Thank you.
And Terry, thank you so much for setting up the interview for us. And before we go, I want to, of course, you know, give you the chance to update folks on your whereabouts.
Sure. I just want everybody to know that, you know, I have a show on Normal Show Live as well as NewDissidentRadio.com called Hollywood Hempress Hour. We have a blog now, a daily blog that we'll be doing alongside the show, and you can find that out at HollywoodHempressHour.blogspot.com.
All right.
And we also are on Twitter underneath Hollywood Hempress as well. So find us and join us and follow us there.
Right on. Hollywood Hempress Hour on the Normal Network. I believe it's on tonight, right? We're on 8 p.m. tonight,
yeah.
Pacific time. So catch the new episode of Hollywood Hempress Hour with Terry Joyce. And thank you so much again for another great Southern California scene, Terry.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we'll see a little video from Normal TV on the Denver mayoral debate. Stay tuned.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana, and over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, NORML hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call NORML Newsmakers.
First, I want to thank NORML for even inviting me to participate today in this, what I hope is going to be a rather robust debate. For a lot of you that are sitting here right now, you may think or have gotten the wrong impression of what I stand for in this movement. And I want to make sure that here in front of everyone, we set this clear and straight. I have been integrally involved in every state that's passed medicinal marijuana law in this country since 2002. I have been out front on every situation that I could possibly be in, from Connecticut the first time around to New Jersey, speaking before multiple senatorial panels there, to being involved in Arizona's laws passing. I've been involved in every single state since 2002, passing laws to allow safe access for patients for medicinal marijuana. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I personally, directly where I stand, I have never been or will I ever be in favor of full 100% legalization of marijuana. I won't. So for those who think that you need to hijack me for that stand, don't bother. This for me is personal, and I thank you for saying it. Because for me, this is how I get through every day of my life. I have MS. A lot of you know that. I've been very, very vocal about that. MS started probably in me back in 1980. I was misdiagnosed for almost 20 years. Went to doctors 3 and 4 times a year trying to get a diagnosis, and I was misdiagnosed every time. 10 years ago, I woke up one morning, and my feet went on fire, and they've never gone off. They burn every day.
I stand for common sense. As a business economist, as a former state senator, as a city councilman, and as a candidate for mayor, I look at this issue as common sense. And the regulations that we've put into place at the city are meant to be commonsensical. I was chair of the safety committee when we went through the various regulations of how are we going to accommodate medical marijuana and make sure that patients can get access, because the patient comes first.
I was also asked by the leadership to do two things, to try to apply some business structure to what had become something that was slightly undefined, or more than slightly undefined. Secondly, they very much asked me not to let this become a partisan issue, to convince both Democrats and Republicans to come together with an initial business model for this industry. That's what we did. And what I'll tell you is we didn't believe it was perfection. Not at all. But we thought it was a good start. And what I'll tell you is, I believe that medical marijuana is a constitutional right in Denver. What I also explained to you is that Colorado, at its core, is a local control state. So those are two things we had to take into consideration.
I'm a free market capitalist and definitely for the freedom of speech, and it's going to be a market driven issue, I think, if it is that type of neighborhood, if it's a residential neighborhood, if you're up on the hill in Boulder and it's a college environment, the supply demand and how they want to be marketed to, the good business owners are going to figure that out.
I think
That's video from the Denver mayoral debate hosted by Montel Williams. We'll talk a little bit about that in hour two in Toker Talk Radio. We'll also take your calls. For those of you listening on the podcast, remember, no show tomorrow. Live listeners, no show tomorrow. I'll be on an airplane on my way to Austin, Texas for the Million Marijuana March. Check out the march in a city near you. GlobalMarijuanaMarch.org, CuresNotWars.org.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
All right, for Cannabis Carry Ganja John, Kaliko the intern, and Ganja Bro, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.